And we need to realize it's an emergency. We must get busy. We must be soul winners for the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be witnesses for Him. We must support and get involved in our church's outreach ministries. Hello to Pastor White and the people of Grace Baptist Church in Surrey, British Columbia. Thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity to speak to your church and have shared a little bit about our ministry and family with your church. God has been so good, so faithful. 21 years now this month, we moved to Richmond Hill on the north side of Toronto. And through all the ups and downs, God has been faithful. God has stood with us every month, every year. And it's been a very transient area where many people have come and gone. They've moved away because they just maybe can't afford to live in an area like ours. And that's understandable. But God has helped us. And God has done some great things here. And we look to Him and we praise Him and we glorify Him. I praise the Lord for what He's done at Grace Baptist Church, and I am thankful for the faithfulness of Pastor White. I began to hear of him even when I was a little, maybe not a little boy, maybe a teenager. Probably as a teenager, I first heard of Pastor White and his ministry, and he's been steadfast. He's been faithful. And so you have, God has given you a good man, a faithful man to pastor and lead your church, shepherd your church, and I praise the Lord for that. I know you're a church that already has a great heart for missions, but I'm going to speak to you on the topic of missions tonight, and specifically I'd like to preach to you a message called Emergency. Emergency. Let's look in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36. After that, we're going to go to the Gospel of John in chapter number 4. I hear those pages turning. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. The Bible says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And then over in the Gospel of John, chapter number 4, and verse number 35, the Bible says this, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Let's bow our heads. Let's have a word of prayer. And as I pray here, can you pray there? Can you bow your head and ask the Lord to speak to you? You say, "I've heard these verses before." I know you have probably. But can you ask God to maybe speak to you in a fresh way tonight about the great need of our world and to recognize what an emergency it really is? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, would you help us now? I pray that you would use your word tonight to speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, that you'd help me to say exactly what you'd want me to say to the Grace Baptist Church. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd speak to the heart in a far more powerful way than what I can speak and challenge them. Thank you for what you've been doing in their church and through their church for the cause of world evangelism. But God, may we never lose our fervency. May we not forget the urgency and the great need of the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jesus Christ was speaking here to the disciples, and he said, "The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Jesus was telling them that the harvest is great and the fields are ready to be harvested. I believe, in fact, they were beyond ready to be harvested, but he was telling them that there's a big job to do. A harvest that is ready to be gathered, but there's a great need for laborers. We need workers in the field. We need Christians to get busy. We need God's people to help work in gathering the Lord's harvest. We need Christians who will be willing to open up their eyes and look beyond themselves at a world that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. We need Christians that will lift up their eyes and survey the fields that are white already unto harvest. We need Christians that will open up their eyes, lift up their eyes, eyes and see people the way that God sees people. We need Christians to lift up their eyes and see the eternal souls of men and women and boys and girls. We need Christians who will lift up their eyes and see that their co-workers and their neighbors and their relatives and their friends have a never-dying soul that will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, it tells us that we should not just say, oh, it's okay. We'll do it in 4 months. We can put it off. We can do it later. There's still 4 months. We've got lots of time. It's no rush. It's not important today. There's time to worry about the harvest later. Jesus Christ was telling them, you don't have time to wait. You don't have time to put it off. The Bible refers to us reaching people with the gospel as being a great spiritual harvest. And in Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, it tells us, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There are souls that God wants to be saved. There are people in Surrey and Burnaby and Coquitlam and in the greater Vancouver area that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be to receive Christ, to hear the gospel, to be saved. There's a harvest that God wants us to reap. Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 4 and verse 35 that the fields are white already unto harvest. And I mentioned this earlier, but I believe that it's not just time, but it's past time that it should have been harvested. But yet there is still time to gather the harvest. Jesus Christ wanted them to realize that it's an emergency. He wanted them to realize that it was urgent. He wanted them to realize that it was important. Every day that was wasted, some of the harvest would be lost. Do you know that every day people die, don't they? Every day souls slip into eternity and they spend eternity in either heaven or hell. The souls of men and women and boys and girls are very, very important to God. In a city nearby here, Toronto, a city, I believe it's Belleville, that I heard that just in the last couple days, they declared a state of emergency because of so many people having drug overdoses. Boy, the situation across our nation and around the world is so desperate, so dire. There are so many needy people that are looking to different things, and what they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. Every week that we sit at home and do nothing, people die without a Savior. Every week that we don't involve ourselves in the soul winning and gospel outreach ministries of our church, people die without the Lord Jesus Christ. Every week that we refuse to give, to send missionaries around the world, people die without ever having heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And Jesus Christ was telling the disciples that the situation in that day was that of an emergency. An emergency. May I say that the situation in our world today is still a great emergency. Over 8 billion people, I believe. I'm not sure of the current statistics, but an enormous world population that continues to grow so rapidly. They tell us that probably half of the world's population has never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We meet people even here in our city that have never heard before the name of the Lord Jesus. They don't know who Jesus is. May I say, there's a great need. It's an emergency. Over 6,500 spoken languages in the world and over 4,500 languages without a Bible. I want to answer two questions for us today. Number one, why is it an emergency? Why is it an emergency? And then the second question we'll answer later is, does it really matter? Does it really matter? The first question, why is it an emergency? Why is it an emergency? Let me give you some answers. Number one, it is an emergency because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. It is an emergency because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. You and I, of course, would work much and spend much money and give much attention to preparing if we knew that royalty was coming. if the King of England was coming and he was going to perchance make a visit at Grace Baptist Church, I'm sure you would do something special to prepare for his coming. If some royalty was coming, some special person was coming, we would make much preparation for that. When ambassadors, when kings, when queens, when royalty, sometimes when presidents or prime ministers visit another country, much detail is given, much attention is given to prepare for their coming. Can you and I remember something far more important today? That the King of Kings is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. In the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, it says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. May I say that's not just true of Christ and the time that he was on earth for his earthly ministry, but oh, how true and necessary that is for us as well. You and I need to be lights in a dark world. We need to be lights in the darkness. We've got work to do. We've got work to do. And we know that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is drawing nearer and nearer every day. Jesus Christ could come again at any moment. And so we must be busy doing the work of the Lord. It's an emergency. It's an emergency. In Matthew 24, verse 44, it says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. We need to be busy spreading the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ until his return, his coming could be near. So why is it an emergency? Number one, because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. Why is it an emergency? Number two, it's an emergency because our world is headed in the wrong direction. It's an emergency because our world is headed in the wrong direction. People are not getting closer to God, are they? People are getting further and further away from God all the time. There's so much materialism, so much humanism, so much atheism, so much sin, so much apathy even amongst Christians. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Then verses 4 and 5 tells us that people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. If that doesn't describe our world, then I don't know what does. We have a world that is full of sin and iniquity, and we have Christians that are full of the world. A world full of sin and Christians full of the world. Dear members of Grace Baptist Church, we're supposed to be different from the world. Christians are supposed to be a shining light in the darkness. Our lives are supposed to be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. We live in a generation where people love pleasure more than they love God. People would rather do what they want than to do what God wants. Christians would rather fit in with the world than to fit in with the Bible. Christian people so often just reject what the Bible teaches about alcohol and modesty and so on. May I say that the reason for that is because we don't fear God like we should. Many Christians have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. Christians go to places where they want to go without any concern about their testimony. Why? Because we don't fear God like we should. We have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. Christians will put things into their body without any thought to what the Bible says about our bodies being temples of the Holy Spirit of God. Why is that? Because we don't fear God like we should. We have a form of godliness many times, but we deny the power thereof. May I say our world is headed in the wrong direction, and Christianity is headed in the wrong direction. We need an old-fashioned generation of Christians that will fear God and keep his commandments. We need some people to be more interested in pleasing God than in pleasing men, pleasing Christ rather than just fitting in with the culture around us. We need some Christians today that will say, though I may live in this world, I am not going to live of this world. We need Christians that will measure their life according to some Bible standards and Bible principles and Bible teaching rather than just by the world's standards of what's acceptable. May I say, we have an emergency on our hands. The world is dying without Christ, and what are we going to do about it? I said it's an emergency because we're headed in the wrong direction. The world is becoming more and more wicked every day. And sadly, many times, Christians and churches are also becoming more like the world. Sadly, many churches are not doing more for God than they used to. They're doing less. Many churches are not doing more for world missions. Sadly, many are doing less. Many churches are not doing more to evangelize the church. Truth is, most are doing less. Most Christians are not doing more and giving more effort to win lost souls and be a witness for Christ. They're doing less. Most Christians are not taking a greater stand for Jesus Christ. They're standing less. Most Christians are not adding more different soul winning programs and outreach ministries. They're doing less. Most churches are not reaching more people than they used to. Sadly, they're reaching less. We're headed in the wrong direction. Christians and churches are sadly not doing more for God. We're oftentimes doing less. I pray to God that we'll have people in Grace Baptist Church of Surrey, British Columbia, that will realize it's an emergency. I pray that your church will realize the condition of the people of your city is an emergency. There's a lot of needy people in Surrey, British Columbia. There's a lot of needy people in the greater Vancouver area. The world is lost and without hope, and the world needs Jesus. And you and I have the answer. We have the truth of God. We must be the light of the world. We must be witnesses for Jesus Christ. We must be soul winners. We must reach the world with the gospel. We must send out missionaries. We must go to the people in our city and tell them of God's love. We must do more for Christ. You say, I'm already doing a lot, but is there something more that God would have you to do? Is there someone else that you could tell? Someone else that you could pray for? Someone else you could care about? Why is it an emergency? It's an emergency because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. It's an emergency because our world and our nation is headed in the wrong direction. Number three, it's an emergency because the need is so great. The need is so great. Over 8 billion people in the world, over 40 million people now in Canada. God has commanded us to spread the gospel to the world. God would not command us to do something that is impossible. It's hard to fathom 8 billion people. I've been before in crowds of 5,000 people and 7,000 people and 20,000 people and even 50,000 people. And so I can picture in my mind what it feels like to be in a crowd of that many people, but 8 billion people. You and I have a hard time understanding that because the number is so great. It's so huge. We can't count 8 billion people on our fingers and toes. But we can all understand the meaning of one person. One person. You've heard this before, of course, but do you know that if just one Christian was to win one other person to Christ this year and then disciple them and teach them how to reach another person with the gospel? And then the next year, those two people were to go out and win some other person to Christ, and then disciple them and teach them and help them to learn how they can go out and reach somebody else with the gospel, then we'd have four people, right? And then if those four people would go out the next year and love people and love sinners and give the gospel and win four other people to Christ, and then disciple them and teach them and so on, 8 people, and the next year 16 and 32 and so on. The world can be won to Christ. It's not an impossible task. And we understand some will reject the gospel. But listen, if we could only get some fervent Christians who will realize the emergency of the situation, the urgency that is needed, the people who need the Lord Jesus Christ. What neighbors are you not speaking to that need the gospel? What co-workers do you need to share the gospel with? So many people need the Lord. The world could be won to Christ. 34 years, the world could be won to Christ if we just reach one. And then reach one the next year. And reach one the next year. And continue to have faithful disciples that would continue reaching one every year. It's an emergency. Because the need is so great. The need of our world is so great. 8 billion people. But we can reach them one by one.
Why is it an emergency? It's an emergency because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. It's an emergency because our world is headed in the wrong direction. It's an emergency because the need of the world is so great. Number four, it's an emergency because it's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. In John chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 10:27 and 28 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Sorry, my sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Revelation 21:8 says that the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. It's an emergency because it's a matter of life and death. People's eternal destiny is hanging in the balance, and we need to realize it's an emergency. We must get busy. We must be soul winners for the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be witnesses for him. We must support and get involved in our church's outreach ministries. We must send missionaries around the world, and every member have a part in giving to world evangelism, giving to world missions. We can't put it off. We must not delay. We cannot say there are yet 4 months. I'll do that next year. I'll do that one day. No, who will die without Christ if we don't tell them? The urgency of the emergency ought to produce fervency. The urgency of the emergency ought to produce fervency. We need to open our eyes and look beyond ourselves at a world that needs Jesus Christ. We need to open our eyes and see people the way that God sees people. Why is it an emergency that we reach the world with the gospel? Number one, it's an emergency because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. Number two, it's an emergency because our world is headed in the wrong direction. Why is it an emergency? Because the need is so great. Number four, it's an emergency because it's a matter of life and death. I've tried to give you four compelling reasons to just see that this is an emergency, why it's an emergency. Some of you, sadly, might sit there and say, so it's an emergency. Who cares? Who cares? I'll tell you who cares. God does. God cares. The second question that I told you I would answer was this: does it really matter? Does it really matter? And the answer is yes. Yes, it matters. It matters to God. It matters to God. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, it says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It matters to God. Does it really matter? Yes, it does. It matters because each soul is precious to God. Each and every soul, each and every person is precious to God. Luke 15, 7 and 10 says that there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Does it really matter? Yes, it matters to God. It matters because each soul is precious to God. Thirdly, it matters to each one that you could reach. It matters to each one that you could reach. In James chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. There was a boy walking along the sandy beach of the seashore. As he walked along, the boy was taking the starfish that had come up onto the shore out of the ocean, and he was throwing them one by one back into the ocean so that they would not die. There was an older man that saw what he was doing, and he said to the boy, son, you're never going to be able to save them all. The boy listened, and he just continued to walk along the shore. He found another starfish and he picked it up and he threw it back out into the ocean. And he looked back to the old man and he said, "No, sir, I may not be able to save them all, but it made a difference to that one. It made a difference to that one." Does it really matter to God what we do? Yes, yes. Does it really matter that there's an emergency? Does it really matter that the world is lost and without Christ? Yes, it matters. It matters to God. It matters because each soul is precious to God. It matters to each one, to each soul, to each individual that we could reach with the gospel. Their eternal destiny could be changed. In closing, let me read you the testimony of a Christian man from Afghanistan. As some Afghans do, this man came down through the Khyber Pass into India to sell and to trade his goods. While in India, he became very sick and he was taken to a mission hospital. Here, for the very first time in his life, he heard the story of Calvary and the empty tomb. He heard the redeeming message of salvation and he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As he was about to leave, the doctor in charge inquired as to what his plans were, to which he replied, "I'm going back to my village to tell my people what Jesus Christ has done for me and what he can do for them." Painfully aware of the high spiritual mortality amongst Muslims who return to their own people, the doctor counseled with the new Christian and cautioned him about the opposition he was sure to encounter. It could mean great opposition, great struggles. And the man said this. He said, "Doctor, my Lord hung upon the cross with all of the sin of the world on his body. Surely he can give me the strength to bear the reproach of the few men who live in my village." And so the man went back to Afghanistan and back to his village. He went back through the pass and up across the mountains to his home. Because he was the son of a prominent family in the village, his first attempts to witness were met with some restrained opposition. He was from a special family, and so they were careful in their opposition. One of the local Mullahs told him, "Allah is one God. Allah is one God, and he never had a son." This is the crossroads at which the division between Islam and Christianity begins and widens. The young man continued to press on and witness for Christ, to boldly take his stand. The people threatened him. If he continued his talking about Jesus Christ, they would stop him. He continued. They laid their hands on him and they tied him to the ground and they poured hot oil through his teeth, searing his throat so that he lost his voice. But he did not die. When he was strong enough, he made the long trip back to the mission hospital in India once more. The doctor was able to bring back his voice to the point of just his being able to whisper. Whisper. "It's all we can do for you," the doctor regretfully informed him. "You'll never speak normally again. You'll only be able to whisper." "Then I will go back again and whisper about Jesus," the man vowed. "I'll go back again and whisper about Jesus." And he did that. He returned to his village. He was never seen again by the people of the hospital. Sometime later, the report came of his martyrdom. It was said to have happened when he repeatedly refused to keep silent, and his own brothers nailed him to a cross in the heart of their village. They left him to hang there until he was dead. May I say, the world needs the gospel. It's an emergency. Does it matter to you? It should. It matters to God. Each soul is precious to God. There are people that need you to go and to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people in Surrey that need you to have the boldness and the courage to tell them about your Savior. There are people around the world that need you to give and send a missionary, send a church planter to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it an emergency? It's an emergency because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. Jesus is coming. It's an emergency because we're headed in the wrong direction. It's an emergency because the need of the world is so great. It's an emergency because it's a matter of life and death. Dear Christian people, we must give. We must give. Every one of us must give. We must pray. We must go with the gospel. We must reach our community and reach our neighbors and reach our co-workers and reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get involved in some personal soul-winning ministries. Get involved in learning how to be an evangelist, learning how to help evangelize your neighbors and evangelize your co-workers and evangelize people in your city. Get involved in soul-winning and gospel outreach ministries. Get involved in tithing. Support your local church and help your church to be able to do more, to reach one more person, one more family, one more needy, lost soul in your town. Get involved, if you're not already, in giving to world missions so that one more person can be reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you use us. Help us to realize the great need of our world. What an emergency it is. And Lord, may the urgency of the emergency produce fervency. Fervency. Lord, give us a love, a compassion for lost souls. God, convict us. Use us. Let us do more for your cause. May God bless you. May God use you. May God use your church. May God use each one of you in a greater way in the coming days and months, as the Lord tarries his coming. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the message today. We invite you to join us again every Sunday and Wednesday for more inspiring messages from God's Word.